The discussion we had till now was that a wife, is she permitted to sell her estate of nichse meloig? Nichse meloig, the word meloig, by the way, is plucking a chicken. And the idea that the husband only gets to get the feathers. He doesn't get to keep the chicken, he gets to keep the feathers. So he gets the produce, yeah. So here we have a discussion about a woman who's a shemeres yavam. She's only a woman in waiting for her brother-in-law, and she has no chasim. Over here, even Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they all agree that she's allowed to sell because the brother-in-law has no ties in it yet. And then the question became, so what happens with her ksuvah? She dies in the middle of something while she's waiting, who gets to inherit the ksuvah? And what about the nechasim that she brings with her, like nechasim aloi, said Basil? Beis Shammai says, you divide everything between, sort of the shared between her original family and the new family. And Beis Hillel says, you leave everything where it is. Leave everything where it is. And in other words, the ksuvah is money that the new husband has to pay out, so it stays with the new husband's family. And the nichsim aleg is her goods, so that stays with her family. That's how you divide it. What about metalkling? What about if the first husband left behind money? How do we divide money? So according to Tanakhama, metalkling also is indebted to her ksuvah, so all that money has to be taken, bought property, and the produce goes to the second husband. Because metalkling is also meshuvah to the ksuvah.
But the karka is hers, no?
The karka is hers for the ksuvah. In other words, and she'll only end up getting as whatever the ksuvah is worth, and any excess karka goes to the second husband. And what about payers that are attached to the ground? So that mayor said payers to the ground go to her as well. They're part of her estate for her ksuvah. So therefore, you work out how much is it worth, you know, with the payers, without the payers, and then that money you buy property, and the produce goes to the new husband, and the property belongs to her. The chachamim say that fruits that are attached to the ground are considered fruits. They're not considered the property, and therefore that belongs to the second husband. Those which are cut off is metalklin. The Chum say, we don't believe the metalklin is meshubit at all to the ksuvah. So they say, whoever gets the first gets to keep it. So if the husband gets this, the new husband gets the first, it's his. If the wife gets the first, then again, everything goes to the wife, goes to the husband. So you buy new property, and the property goes to the, is for her, and the produce is for the husband. Once they get married, she's like a regular wife. He can divorce her. He can remarry her again. There's no more issur of marrying a sister-in-law. And but the ksuvah is taken from the estate of the first husband. He's not allowed to say to her, look, your ksuvah is worth $200. I'll take care of it, and let me free up all the assets and sell it. All the assets of the first husband are indebted to the ksuvah. So if he sells it, and when he dies, whatever, she wants to collect the ksuvah, there's no other assets, she can go back to every one of those assets that were sold. And the same thing is every marriage, in fact. You cannot just say, go put the ksuvah on the table and all the assets will be sold. She has a right to all the assets, and we'll discuss that soon. Okay. If he remarries her, she goes back to the first ksuvah. Up to the bottom of the page. Yibay luhu, shemetis, yom, shemesa, shemetis, yom, died. Mi koivra, remember, where the kavura, the husband, buries her. Because, she brings in assets into the marriage and not and all that. But in this case, who buries her? Her new husband's family, or her new husband, or her father's family, because they both inherit from her. The din is because the husband inherits her, therefore, in return, he has to bury her. But over here, both parties, both the new husband.
He's not the husband yet. She's a shemesh. She's white.
Yeah, but he's inheriting. If she dies, he inherits her. But also, her father's family, original family, inherits her. Which one of them is a husband barrier? Says the Gemara, do we say Yoshe Baal Kavri Le Dekal Yarti Ksuvah? Because the Yashak Ksuvah, Dilma, Yoshe Av Kavri Le, maybe her family, Dekal Yarti, Nechassim, HaNechnassim, they don't get the Ksuvah, the money of the Ksuvah, but they get the Nechassim Leig that she brings into the marriage. Goes back to them. Because they're always hers, and therefore goes back to her family. So who is the one has to bury her? Says the Gemara, Marav Amram, Toshma Kuman Her, the Tanya, we learned, Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, Shemeres Yavam that died. Yosha says in the Braise, clearly, who has to give the ksuvah? Yosha Yoshe ksuvasa, those who yashin her ksuvah, which is her husband's family or new husband's or brother-in-law's family, chayovim bikvirosa, they're the ones that have to bury. Amar Abaye afanana mitanina. In fact, we learned the same thing in the Mishnah. It says almona nizaynis menichsi yisaimim. Almona gets fed from the estate of the yisaimim. For many years, she can get provided for by the estate from her husband, late husband. Umaisa yadeh shalehen, but whatever she earns goes to them because they're feeding her. So whatever she earns goes to them. They're not, but the Yisaimim, they're not the ones who are chayiv to bury her if she dies. Rather, Yersheha, Yoshik Sevasa, Chayav Mikurasa. Her ears, they're the ones who have to bury her. They're the ones who have to bury her. The Eza Almana Sheyeshla Shnei Yoshin. Sounds like there's two Yoshinim. There's the Yoshin of a husband's estate, and then there's her own Yoshin. Which woman has two sets of Yoshin? I would have said that's talking about a Shemeres Yavam, and it says who buries her, not the husband's family, who buries her. It's not the original family, but her husband's family. They're the one who bury her. The ones who receive the ksuba, the ones who bury her. Whoever gets the ksuba buries her. Since we paskin in our Mishnah here, that her husband, new husband's family inherited the ksuba because they didn't pay it out yet, so they get to keep it. So they're the ones that's the barrier. Pashut. Amar Rav Zerava L'cheide Lema. Let the new brother's family say, Och ani yodish. All I'm doing is taking over Reuven's, my original, the original husband's place. I'm a yavam. So in other words, what I'm yashining is nothing to do with her family. I'm not taking her dowry. I'm taking over my brother's place, and I'm taking the $100 or $200 and anything he added onto the ksuba. I'm taking it. I'm not taking it from her. If I took it from her, I yashin her, so I have to in return pay her kvuda. But I'm just taking over my brother, so therefore why should I pay anything? That's the Rav's question. Ain't any kaiva, why should I bury her? I'm a late abaya, Mishin, you know why? Mishin, the boy in all of Mishnah studying, we come on to him from Monashech. We take Monashech to him. If the reason why you're entitled to the ksuva is you claim you're entitled to the ksuva, but on the grounds that you're taking over your brother, you're not taking it from her, since your brother would have kept the ksuva. So therefore, you're taking over your brother. Im achiv yedish, yikberes ishtoi, then you have to bury his wife as well, because he would have had to bury his wife. So therefore, because he's Yashin Ksubas. Exactly, you got to do it. No, but you're going to tell Yimeinu Kodesh, you don't want to take over that place of any wife. Then you think Ksubasa. Then you have to give it back a Ksuba, because the Kavura and the Ksuba go hand in hand. So you can't take one.
The expenses of the Kavura comes out of her 200 zuz Ksuba?
No, so if you're saying that you are not responsible for the Kavura, that means you're saying that you're not the one who's entitled to the Ksuba. Then give the Ksuba to her, to her family, and they'll work out the Kavura. Amalei said, "That's good rap, good point." But Hachik Kamin, he missed my point. What I was trying to say is, "Och ani yodesh, my brother Ayashin. Therefore, as ishtoi ein ani koive, I will not bury his wife. I, your tiny, if I don't bury his wife, why am I entitled to ksuva? V'imishum ksuva. I, why am I entitled to ksuva? You know why? If my brother would have had to bury, if I'm entitled to ksuva and I'm taking my brother's place, I should also no. My brother never had to bury because my brother died before her, and while my brother was alive." She had no right to claim the ksuba. Ksuba can only be collected after, because it's written in the text of the ksuba. You will get this ksuba when you marry another person. In other words, and when can she marry another person? Only if the husband divorces her or the husband is dead. But because when the first husband is alive, she's not entitled to the ksuba. So therefore, I'm taking my brother's shoes. My brother never had the situation where he had to pay out the ksuba. So therefore, Abayi says, what are you talking about? Man shamatle, who is the one that says the ishle medrash ksuva? Who's the one that says that we darshan the ksuva literally, that it says that when you marry somebody else and so on and so forth, means that there's no rights to the ksuva while the husband's alive? Beishame, only one says that Beishame. We'll see later in the Gemara. that he's so pedantic, he takes it literally. And even so, therefore, Kumbi Shabbat Chalan a question, because he didn't take ksuva literally. He believes that the ksuva is entitled even when the first husband's alive. So, if the second brother wants to take over the first husband's place for the ksuva, he also has to take over the first brother's chiyuvim of paying for the kvudah. And now, the only one who holds otherwise is Shammai, but you should know that Shammai also holds shtar ha'im aligbus ki govodami. Shammai also holds that the woman who's holding on a shtar is as if she already collected. So, it's already hers. And therefore, you're not yashing from your brother, because as soon as your brother married the woman, it's as if she already collected the ksuva. So if you're yashing the ksuva, who are you yashing the ksuva from? From the wife. And if you yash from the wife, you have to then pay for her burial. What's the maisit? Now we learned. What about a woman that's accused of being a soita, but then her husband died before he had a chance to exonerate herself? Meisu baleye nachalei shosu. What about if the husband died before they drank? Beishamay says, "Night like ksuva v'lo shayses." Beishamay says she takes the ksuva, but she doesn't drink. But she collects the ksuva. She collects a ksuba. So see what luchayda. Why is she entitled to ksuba? She doesn't drink. Maybe it could be that she was a seita. It could be that she committed infidelity.
And then why she doesn't get
it? Exactly. So why should she get a ksuba? What's it mean? Basil had this seita. Basil says, "Oy shaisis, oy loy neitel ksuba." Basil says, either she drinks, but if she doesn't drink, not entitled to ksuba. Which was the place? She drinks. It says in the pasuk. If you want to ask a question, what do you mean she drinks? How can she drink? The husband's not alive anymore. Only the husband brings it to the kain. The husband's dead. Ella, we read Basil. Because she doesn't drink, doesn't take a suva. So the chayda.
That's unfair to her. She doesn't have an opportunity now.
That's true. That's a kasef. But bottom line is,
her husband had a heart attack. Therefore, she
should not have done the stira.
She's
did something wrong.
She has no chance to prove.
Yeah, but she did something wrong. The husband says, "Don't be alone with the guy."
Okay, but
she did.
Always a chance to prove that she's innocent.
When it helps, but other than she messed up. Not he. She did.
Isn't this
why was seclusion with a guy alone after you warned you suspicious?
Okay,
he was suspicious already. Why did you dafka tease him?
Don't we say hamoitzim chaveru?
Not in this case. Yes, like lying bedover. In this case, you're having more than insight. It's like lying bedover. There's grounds. So so what?
We always give someone a chance to do tshuva. Here, I think she's stuck.
She messed up. Elamater shalai shaisis. You got to suffer the consequences. Mater shalai shaisis loy neitzlis ksuva. No, what Hilda is saying is, taka she cannot drink, so she forfeits a ksuva. Now, why does Beishamai say she's entitled to ksuva? Beishamai yamim neitzlis ksuva. You know why she takes the ksuva? Because it's already hers. Valay shaisis. Vamai sveiku lacheda. Why is she entitled to ksuva? Isn't there a suffix? Suffix zanoi, suffix loy zanoi. Maybe she's mazana, and she forfeited a ksuva. And is it right that kaosi is suffix right to levadai? Is it right that she's being the moitzi? She wants the ksuva. It's as if she already collected her ksuba. So she's not being a mitzi, she's being a machzik. She's not taking anything from the husband, it's her, she's entitled to it. Says the Gemara, okay, so therefore Bishamai says that. Bishamai is the one who says that. So he's saying to her, what's your question? So you want to ask a question about it, but in, don't we need what are you telling me that ksuba is as if she collected already, but in the ksuba, being Bishamai so pedantic, it says clearly that when can she collect the ksuba? Only if she marries somebody else. So how can you say while the husband's alive and she's happily married, it's as if she already collected the ksuba? And especially now with a yavam. What do you mean it's as if she already collected the ksuba? By marrying a yavam, it's as if she married another person, so she's already entitled to the ksuba. The moment her husband died, she's allowed to marry taka, she cannot marry any fremder person, but she's allowed to marry her brother-in-law. It's as if she's marrying another person, and therefore she's entitled to the ksuba straight away, and therefore as if she already collected the ksuba.
What is the criteria by which we determine which of her nechassim will be meloig or which will be tzambaz? She decides.
So in Basel, she says, look, this one here, we're fixing the price.
Yeah, so
you, if you gain or loss as the husband.
Devalue, it's her advantage to say, she brings a washing machine into, okay, in 10 years there's going to be a second-hand washing machine, it's going to be very cheap, let's fix a price on
that. That's right, exactly.
But karka is going to inflate in value, so that one I want to keep the keren.
That's right, next will exactly what it is. Whatever it's worth, it'll be worth 10 times the price. These are in Basel, it's fixed. If you fix it for $500, if the property is worth $1,000, it's all his gain.
Yeah.
So we say, no, next will, exactly. So therefore, Abaye dismisses Rava's questions. But the situation is not over. Now we're not doing Rashi. Rava said, sent back to Abaye. So what did Abaye answer? Abaye said that a woman can collect tuksuva while alive, like Beshama, and therefore, so Memanoshech, the husband cannot get out of, wiggle his way out of, the second husband can't wiggle his way out of the kavuda. Because he's collecting the ksuva from her. It's already her ksuva. He's collecting it from her. You collecting her ksuva, then you got to pay the expense of the kura. Sitting mother, Shalach le Rav Labai b'yad Rav Shammai b'zeide. Rav sent Labai a message in the hands of Rav Shammaya, the son of Zeide. Uminit no ksuva ligbos mechaim. Are you telling me that you can collect the ksuva while it's alive? Or Tanya Rababa, did Rababa learn a braise? The time we learned Rababa, and Rababa said, Sha'alti es sumchis, I asked sumchis, sumchis of Talmud of Hill. I asked sumchis, Horoitze sheyimke benichse achiv. Let's say Shimon married Reuven's wife, he's a Yavam. And now we said that an entire, all the assets of Reuven, could be the ksuva is worth $200. His assets are worth $1,000. All of his $1,000 assets are now indebted and tied up with his ksuva. But it's not fair. He can't do anything with his brother's assets. Case otherwise, what should he do? Im koyin hu, if he is a koyin, which means he cannot divorce her, because if he does, he cannot take her back and he loves her. He's yasa, so to make a big party for her and take her to a nice restaurant. V'yifayis. And convince her that, look, you don't need all the $1,000 worth of properties to support your $200 worth of ksuba. Let me sell both properties. We'll have a better life, and I'll keep one property. He seduces her. Easy. Don't bother wasting money on a restaurant. Got what we get. Throw it out of the house. And once you throw out of the house, you pay out a ksuba. Once you pay out a ksuba, the rest of the properties are no longer tied in. And then, take it back. Take it back, if she wants to come back. What's that? Let's do Rashi. Rashi, the last narrow line. Shalach Rav Labaye, Yena Eitza.
Shalach Rav. If we say, see, this is a financial trick going on here.
Yeah, but she's not very happy with this financial trick, is she? There's no, a ruse is when both parties are complicit. She's not happy because now she's on very strong grounds. You know, even when this thing goes devalued, that goes bad. I have so many assets back in my ksuva, I'm all right. But if you limit all the assets just to equal amount of ksuva, how do you know tomorrow will be worth that amount? Maybe worth less. So she's not happy. Yet she's happy to go back to marry him. As we had a few days ago with Ishlokir there.
She doesn't want to be alone.
That's right. And we had over there, she moves up to the front of the porch and everything. That she's already entitled to the ksuva while she's waiting in line for the marry Shimon. So therefore, when Shimon yashes the ksuva, he's taking it from her. He was a shlich in this particular discussion. She's entitled to collect it then. He cannot take it back. Yasla suda, you offer a nice one. Leap taisa to seduce her b'mishta yain. If Esther would have to do with Achashverosh, you can do that as well with your wife. V'yefayis heimena and pizer shetitin loy deshus limka. Titin loy deshus limka is the idea that she should give him permission and grant him permission to sell the excess al yedek sevasa, any worth more than ksuva. But im yisralu. But if the yid shemuta lahachzik yirushasay, he's allowed to go back. Megar should get divorced. She collects the ksuva. Then he, before he takes it back, sell everything. And then he says, look, I'm taking it back. And we learned in the Mishnah that when you take it back, you take back only as original ksuva. So in other words, you don't get my new assets. And what do we have left from the original assets? Only $200 worth of assets. That's it. Or if he wants to sell it immediately, he doesn't even have to sell straight away. He can take it right away back. He can now sell. Who can stop him from selling the rest of the assets only if he married her while she was a Yevama and she's still married to him while he's a Yevama? Because he's replacing his brother Reuven. But when he marries her a second time, he's no longer replacing Reuven. It's a new marriage. If he's a Yevama, he's like Ksuva. The second guy, the second husband doesn't write her Ksuva. He's relying on the Ksuva. Lekosala, he doesn't write the Kanoi or the Kanina. Then Ksuva, the Ksuva is only continuation of the first one. Therefore, she can stop him from selling any of the first assets, the original assets. Maybe these ones will get flooded. Later on, even though later on we say that all the free assets are indebted, that if all the free assets were drowned, were flooded, she has a right, even with the second husband's right, to go to the Mishabadim. But then it's her whole court case. If a normal case of a woman with a man, let's say first she collects from the, every husband's allowed to sell whatever assets he has. And she's entitled to the free assets. But if there are no free assets, then she starts working her way back to see who was the last one to board a property because she's the first lender. And she has a lien on the properties. But that's a big job to go back and work it all out. But when he takes it back the second time, he writes a new ksuva. The kosla he writes, the kanoi, the kanina. He said, those that I bought and those that I sold. If he writes that, so she's protected in a way, then she cannot stop him from selling. He can sell whatever he wants. If a guy buys a property, bought it from the man, then he turns to the woman and says, look, I know you're entitled to ksuva, but I want to buy the rights from you, so I'll give you $20. And you don't nudge me, even if you ever get a ksuva, you don't come to me. Mekh, a bottle, we say it's not a good mekh. Why? Because the wife doesn't have it yet that she can sell. Or communion, we say, it's talking about deba, isa shalosh, there's two on three fields. Acha shekosla, because one of them he wrote in the ksuva, acha shekhlaks, one of them he set aside. Acha shekhlisla, shum, mishla, one of them is her own field. And that's over there, it doesn't work. Okay, back to you, Mario. So, now, what do we see from Sumchis? From Rabbi Abel, is the name of Sumchis. Then you want to write it. If you're going to tell me that that the wife, while they're married, she already has entitled to the, so what's a big deal? What do you need the whole Eitzah for? Since she's already has a shaykhis to the ksuva, set aside a property right now and say, this is your ksuva. It's as if she collected already. If it's as if she collected, then it frees up all the remaining assets. The only reason why the remaining assets are not free is because she didn't collect it. We don't know where she'll collect from. But if you hold, like Abaye says, that a woman, while she's married, already, according to Bisham, is entitled to, it's as if she collected. No, so what's the big deal, Rashi? Well, the time mech. Sorry, back to the Gemara. Freddy Gemara Tzirik, well, the time mech, according to where you say, you want to argue that what? She's not entitled to while she's married. So if so, so why does Abba have to tell you, why does we have to bring here a braise? Why bring a braise with a sumchis? Our Mishnah says clearly, the loise must, it's a clear our Mishnah. Lo yoyim Allah, the husband should not say, the second husband should not say to the wife, harek suvasach munacha der shulchan. Your ksuva is lying on the table is an expression which means whatever's available by the time, that's what yours is. And the rest is free, free up all the assets. Don't say that. The Mishnah says no. Or the chasim achrayin l'ksuva. No. Say the same thing to the Mishnah. If the din is as if, she already collected while she's married, why can't the husband say to the wife, this property is what's going to be yours, as if it's hers already, and the rest is free? Bring it out for the Mishnah if that's the right of us. Why don't you bring me an eye for Mishnah? Because Hashem ate a tevi kamashla. It's not a halacha, the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is just giving advice. Mishnah is saying to any husband, you know, you want her marriage to be happy, you want her to feel confident, then don't sell the assets that are all tied to the ksuva. It's only good advice to have a happy marriage. So why can't the say to him with Asumchas as well? Rashi. You say time because you cannot collect the ksuva while they're alive. Why bring a braisa? We can't bring an eye for the Mishnah. The masnisin ikel shnuy. We can answer the lav din lektoni. Ela eitzat toiva shleit. There's only eitzat toiva. Allah shulchan hein moiz the money should mishdamish ben. He said here when he says the ksuva is on the table, what he means is here's $200 cash. Put it in the safe and that's yours. If you ever have to collect. If he's a trader. So shulchan means something, a commodity that can be put on the table, and that's it, not a problem.
Shulchan
is a money changer. That's what I'm saying here. So a money changer has a lot of cash. And I'll prove it to you, the Mishnah on the table. That's why we couldn't bring an eye for the Mishnah. If not, so safer. The Torah says it's safer. Every husband and wife, forget it, Yvonne. Chain lo yoyim al nisha. Imagine, says the wife had exhaust on the shulchan. You can sit on the table, here's your $200. Put it aside. And free of the assets. Is that true? A husband can't sell any properties. Any married man can't sell the properties because every property he owns is tied to the ksuva. Next thing you talk, he boils vunachamim much as having. El aged the gemashon. The Abba is giving you advice that what you know, make sure you have as many properties as you can, keep the family happy. So that's why we don't bring for the Mishnah el Rabbi Abba kasha, but we do have a kasha for Rabbi Abba. Says clearly from here that what that she has no shaykhis. That while there's alive, it's not like it's collected. Therefore, the husband cannot set aside a property to the wife and say to the wife, while the marriage, this property, or to the Yavim can't to his wife, this property is tied to your ksuva, can't do that. Is a raya that loinik the ksuva ligbas mechaim. Not like a baya. So the Gemara, the Rabbah benami lekashe. That's not a problem either. You know why? Mishum Eva. He's not telling you halach again. He wants, yeah, don't have any, create any animosity over here. You want it to be shown by this. She's confident you're not cheating her and selling everything right from underneath her. So you want to write, and what's the Eva? So Rashi says an interesting thing. Eva is not just that she thinks you're selling everything underneath him. Why even Bechal talking about Ksuv? The very fact that your plans are ready. You're trying to protect yourself. So she now walks around on eggshells. She's scared. She says the wrong thing. Out she goes. Rashi.
My bubba, any time anyone asks the rabbi, father once asked him, what's the correct spelling of your name? Straight away. What, you're trying to make my matzeva already? Why am I
exactly. Very suspicious. Rashi Shum Eva. Hamayachid li ishtev. If a person sets aside for his wife, oikaka, oi metalkling, whatever it is, noisen evas oilam b'neim. Russian evas oilam. That's it. You've created a wedge, a permanent wedge. The Savra, she thinks, ain of noisen begadishin. What's he thinking about? He's thinking about divorcing me. Avozeshim begadish, amanashi yachze. But if he divorces in order to take her back, yodad loyasa limkur apokala eva. She doesn't hate him for that. Divorces him, makes the whole trick, gets rid of her. She's like a piece of garbage.
That's very nice.
Yeah, but you want, yeah. You could have asked me. No, you couldn't ask me. You throw me out of the house like a dog. You embarrass me in public. And then you take care of yourself, everything. You sell all the, exactly. And they take you back. He's ready to sell all properties.
Now he got liquid assets. Now he sold off all those properties that he might not get if he...
Even though we had an eight to take it to a restaurant and make a nice deal, candle at dinner, he didn't do that. So you don't think she'll be upset? Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, well, yes, why spend money?
Exactly.
Wine
costs geld, you know.
But getting married at the same time, you make a little chasen also. That's not cheap.
Yeah,
it's
the second time.
Still in a minion. You got to have a little party. Herring and pickles. You got to have something.
Shabbos dinner. We'll do it on Friday.
We'll
have a Shabbos dinner.
Okay. She has cooked it herself. Okay. Who got a person? The Nafalei Vomit Bubadisa. There's a person that his sister-in-law fell before him. And Bubadisa, interesting thing, what happened was, now, usually we live before it goes to the oldest brother. But the younger brother didn't want the older brother to marry her, not because he wanted to marry the woman. If nobody marries her, then they all divide the estate. But if the older brother marries, he gets the entire estate. So the younger brother wanted to ruin it for the older brother, that the older brother should not be able to marry. So we learned before, if the younger brother gives a kedushin to her, and then divorces her, nobody marries her. And then who gashens the Reuven? The brothers, not her. So he didn't want to do that. Listen, what money does to a family is unbelievable. Who gave it? The best thing is not to have money. A person, Yevamah, fell for somebody in Pabadisa. Boy, he wanted to ruin it for her. He can't go back to the older brother. The older brother said, look, why are you doing this? I love her. Why are you doing this? Mishum nechasei, right? You want the estate. I'll tell you what I'll do. Don't do anything. Let me marry her. And I promise you, I'll split the estate. I don't need all the assets. Now, can he do that? Because what we just said a minute ago, that all of the entire estate is meshubit to the ksuva of his new wife. And here he's giving half away. He's like selling it. Before can he do that? Before he married. Amar Abayisa, kiven amar Rabban Lezvin, since Rabban said you cannot sell, apagav the zovin lo habiz vina zina. He can't do it. Even though he made it up with the brother, it's meaningless. If he married his wife, he gets to keep the whole estate. He has no right to give it to the brother. Just like he can't sell it, and even if you, and but yeah, but if he did, it's going to get, nothing happened. The tanya we learned, mi shemeis v'hiniach shemeres yavim, right, somebody died and left behind a wife who's going to marry Shimon. Let's say left an estate worth $10,000. Ksuv is only worth $100, right? La yimkur. The ksuv is only worth $100 because she's marrying now. She's an alman. They're marrying now Shimon. Yet he's not allowed to sell any of the assets, even though there's $10,000 worth of assets. She called the chosav achrayin the ksuvas. The entire estate is achrayin the ksuv. So therefore, if he did it, nothing happened. So the brother's promise to the younger brother is ganish vet. Omle Abaye said, you shouldn't do it. But where does it say that if he did, nothing happened? You came to the conclusion, the din is that you shouldn't sell any of the assets. But where does it say that if you did, nothing happened? Maybe the older brother shouldn't have given half the assets away to the younger brother. But if he did, maybe it happened. How do you know it didn't happen? Didn't we learn in the Mishnah before? A woman who is an arusa. Timke, she can sell. Basically, like Timke, she cannot sell. Yet, elu the elu ma'idim. Everyone agrees. She imachra the nasna. She either sold it, gave it away. Kayim. She did it. She did it. So maybe it'll be the same thing over here by the Shemeres Yavim. How do you know that the Yavim gave away half the assets the Poyle didn't do? That was his question to Rabbi Yosef. Came a big controversy. Sholchu lekamed Rav Chanina bar Papa. They sent this the discussion between Rabbi Yosef and Abaye to different Rabbanim, including Rav Chanina bar Papi. Sholchem. And he answered back, I believe, like Rabbi Yosef, that once you, that even if you sold it, you can't sell.
In other words, the transaction's invalid.
Yeah, exactly. If we tell you not to sell, all the assets are meshuba to the ksuba, if you're not selling the assets, if you did, there's not a transaction. Omer Abaye said, Otu Rab Chanina bar Papi, keep it tall. You think he has noseband hanging on his nose? Just because you're Rabbi Yosef, what does that mean? You don't bring any proof. I asked a good question. I said, how do you know that it's a valid sale? So he said, I agree, Rabbi Yehuda, it is a valid sale. I said, what? So what do I care? You have 100 people agreeing, but if you have no basis, you have no basis. That's what about pretty chuspid is about here. They'll fight with the whole world. Shalchu l'kamei. So then they continue sending this discussion to different Amoraim. They sent it to Rabbi Yumi Bereid, Rabbi Nuchumi. Sholcha k'dabaya. He answered back like Abaya. That what? That if he did sell, it's a valid sale.
But he, Abaya didn't protest.
They no, that he was very happy.
Don't bring me any proof.
But then he said, but the guy added one little clause. The e amma bar abyeza time acherin. If he can give me another reason, not just stam saying the belt that the sale is a valid sale, but if he can give me some kind of a svara to it, then sholchli, do me a favor, send it to me. Then maybe I'll change my mind. I'll agree with Rabbi Yosef. But the way he stands right now, you know, why shouldn't the sale be a valid sale? Just like in our Mishnah with Shaman Hill, says the Gemara, not for Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was challenged now. Find a mocker. He went out, dock. He searched. He investigated. Ashkeri Taka found a mocker. Tanya learned the Braise. How did you know you should be achi? If you owed money to your brother of a mace, and he died, v'niach shemer es yavam. Shimon owed money to Reuven, right? Then Reuven died, so Shimon's going to marry Reuven's wife. Now Shimon's going to inherit everything that Reuven has, including his loan. You know, Reuven has a contract that Shimon owes to Reuven $100, but Shimon is going to inherit that loan that he owes $100. Why should I pay into the state $100 and then later I'm going to yash in the back? I'm keeping it. Along those lines, yeah.
A three-way.
It's an expression the Gemara will have in Enik Subas. Why do you have to go in circles? Let's come back here anyway. So why go through the motions? Don't say hoyul shani yodish. Since I will yashin hechazakti, I will keep it. What's the point of giving it to Reuven and taking it back? You take it out of the yavam, and when you bring it, you take it out, you pay the roof into the state, then you bring it back, and now everything is meshuvah to the ksuva. So long and free, because if he would have kept it, he could have done the money whatever he wanted. Not anymore, because now everything's a debt to the ksuva. So everything belongs to her now. Even though it's $10,000 and all the ksuva is worth $100. And now what do we do with the money? We buy properties, and the produce he gets to keep, but the estate is all tied into the ksuva. Who oichel paid us? He's paid us. So what do we see from here? That the sale is not a sale. L'chayre Shimon says, I want to keep it. You say, not too bad. You got to give back to Reuven. So it's a rayit Rabbi Yosef that the transaction is not a transaction. When we tell you everything's tied to Ksuba, even by the Evid, everything's tied to Ksuba. Omale Abaye says, Abaye, what's the rayit from there? Maybe a dilma de tovela of the maybe some good eight. Maybe the idea is if you're going to keep it in money, you'll spend it. And the thing is, you do need to support the ksuva. That's why we say pay the money in and then buy property, and the property will always be there, so her ksuva is supported. We're not talking about a case here where there was where does it say the Braise was $10,000 worth of assets in the whole cheshbon? We're talking about there was not too many assets there, so we need some assets. Therefore, we say, an Eitz HaTeiva, pay the money up, but maybe be the Eved if he didn't, he can keep it. Like I said, to the buyer, no rai from here. Almost, Rabbi Yosef answers back, Tana, it says clearly in the Braise, Tana, we learned, Tani, say in the Braise, Moitzian, we actually go in and we take it out from him. We don't ask Shimon, we don't advise Shimon, we force him. We take it away from him. Says the Gemara, and v'at amit tovle avdala, you tell me it's only Eitz HaTeiva, we take it away. So therefore, said Rabbi Yosef, a good right from here that if we tell you all the assets are tied to the Ksuva, even if you didn't follow our advice, nothing happens. The Gemara, hadud, afterwards, shochu kamei rabbi yumei rabbi namchumi. After they sent rabbi yumei rabbi namchumi, Amalu, he said, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yosef Bamin Yumi. This is what Rabbi Yosef Bamin Yumi said. Amar Rab Nachman, Rab Nachman. Zu Eine Mishnah. The whole Brayt is above my
son. Is that his son?
No.
He's quoting Rabbi Yosef Bamin Yumi.
How could it be? Rabbi Yosef is contradicting himself. A minute ago, Rabbi Yosef is bringing Rai from this Braisa.
That's what I'm asking. Is this the same Rabbi Yosef as the one we just spoke?
No. He said, this Braisa, we don't accept. It's not acceptable, this whole Braisa. Why not? My time, why is the Braisa acceptable? If you want to say, I'll give you a few reasons. Elema, if you want, we shouldn't have the metalti. We're talking about money. And the only one who holds in our Mishnah, we just learned before, the holds that metalkin is meshubah to ksuvah is rameh. But the chacham holds that metalkin is not meshubah to ksuvah. So therefore, the braise is not a real braise. It can't be that I owe this guy. If he owes money, we're going to force him to put the money in the state so that the money should be tied to the ksuvah.
It can't be a
braise halib that rameh. Oh, that's what I was going to ask back. Meshubah metalkin ksuvah, meshubah to ksuvah. Why can't the braise be rameh? Exactly what you just said. The omah metalkin is yeh meshubah to ksuvah. He holds that metalkin is meshubah to ksuvah. So why are you saying this b'raisa is wrong? Says the Gemara, you know why the b'raisa is wrong? Because Shimon can say, I love Baal Devar Diyat. I never borrowed money from Reuven's wife. I borrowed from Reuven. Let Reuven come and collect.
Hi, Reuven's dead.
Oh, exactly. Love Baal. You can't. Exactly. So the Gemara will say, what you just said. What do you mean? Dilmar Abnasani. Why can't the woman say, Taka, and you never borrowed from me, but my husband owed me money for my ksuva. You owe money to my husband. She booted the Rabnasan that says that if Reuven owes money to Shimon, Shimon owes a Levi, then Reuven owes a Levi. So what do you mean the wife has no taina? So why is the b'raisa wrong? Dilmar Abnasani. Maybe it's Rabnasan. Tanya, we learned Rabnasan Omer. Minayin, how do you know Lenoisha Bechaveda money? If you owe your friend $100, Bechaveda Bechaveda, and this friend owes his friend $100. Minayin Shemaiti and Mezev and Nation, I know that Levi, the receiver. He can go straight to A. Tama Lema said the Pasik Vinasan, you should pay La Asher Usher Loy to the person you're obligated to. Obviously, well, who else are you gonna pay? Not the person obligated to those two. Learn from there extra that even though you didn't borrow from this person, but since the person you borrowed from is obligated to that person, you're ultimately obligated to that person. So Lucheda, what's wrong with this Braisa? Says the Gemara. Because here you have La Ashkan Tana the Machmed today Chumre B'Ksuva. Here the whole Ksuva is the Rabban we pass. Except Rangam Mul, and here your Machmed two ways. This is Brayse Machmed two ways. How is Machmed two ways? Number one is you're saying Metalkalin is Meshuba to Ksuva, which is only Rameh. Nobody else holds that. And then you're saying Shibud Rabnasan. She's the right to collect. Eli Iker Amed Iker Rabnasan. You can't buy both. Which is it sounds like from here. That not everyone agrees with Rab Nassan because he's saying it's a chumrah, as if there are people.
Agree
yeah.
With Nassan, or they don't agree with applying his din here.
If everyone agrees with Rab Nassan, then that's the din. It's not a chumrah. It's a halacha. Chumrah means that you're taking a kadas yochid. You're taking a minority opinion. Yeah. Okay, one more line. Omar Rav says Rav Im Kain. Now I understand what Abaye said. The Amazu ain't a Mishnah, it's not a Mishnah. But Leidan Amaye didn't know what he was talking about. Now I understand why it's not a Mishnah. So what does it mean to look it up? What does it mean that it's called Tere Chumre? Okay.